Good morning. It is time to get up with Tua. While you were sleeping, a video drops that could change the entire top of the NFL draft, and you will see it in just a moment. Plus, the Patriots' plans post-TB12 coming into focus with one budding star they've set their sights on. We'll tell you who that is coming up. And a huge off-season hit for the Cowboys. You'll see the one extremely important piece Dak will not have to play with this coming year. All that and more as we get up with you, starting right now. I'm Mike Greenberg. I'm in Bristol again this morning and delighted you've chosen to get up with us. And as I've said all week, and I will say as long as it takes, we as sports fans are going to get through this thing together. And we begin this morning with a developing story, and it is very significant. The U.S. Olympic and Paralympic Committee is ratcheting up the pressure on the International Olympic Committee to postpone this summer's Olympic Games. The USOPC surveyed thousands of its athletes and then issued a statement last night, which reads, in part, "Our most important conclusion from this broad athlete response is that even if the current significant health concerns could be alleviated by late summer, the enormous disruptions to the training environment, doping controls, and qualification process can't be overcome in a satisfactory manner. To that end, it is more clear than ever that the path toward postponement is the most promising, and we encourage the IOC to take all needed steps to ensure the games can be conducted under safe and fair conditions for all competitors." Our Jeremy Schapp has more on what the IOC is considering now.
There are so many factors here. There are billions of dollars at stake. There are rights holders all over the world. There are legal implications, financial implications that we're talking about. There's the matter of figuring out if they postpone it rather than cancel it, when are they going to postpone it until? They have to get all their ducks in a row. They have to figure this whole situation out. I don't think they want to be making decisions piecemeal, saying we're not going to do it, and then kicking the can down the road, deciding when they are going to have the Olympics. There's so much here, and there's, of course, all of the investment of time and resources in Japan over the course of the last 7 years to make these games possible. So while they say they're going to take a month to announce their decision, of course that doesn't necessarily mean it's going to take a month to make the decision, which really at this point is being made for the IOC.
We'll have more on this as we go, including a live interview with U.S. Olympian Lolo Jones, who's been outspoken on this issue. She will join us in our second hour, 9:40 Eastern Time this morning. Meanwhile, to the NFL, where the biggest question heading into the draft is the health of Tua Tagovailoa. And last night, he tweeted out this video of himself doing a throwing drill and said, quote, "Practicing social distancing with the long ball today. Feels good to spin it again." And then he hit the hashtag process. So you take a good look at that video, and we'll keep showing it to you here. And it brings us to Mel Kiper Jr.'s latest mock draft, which is hot off the presses. This was just released in the last few moments. Mel right now has Tua going to Miami at number 5 behind Joe Burrow and a trio, as you see there, of defensive players. Then the next pick is a quarterback again. It's Justin Herbert. And further down the board, the combine breakout star Jordan Love. Mel has him going 23 to New England, which is extremely interesting in and of itself. But here he is. And Mel, I was just saying to Mel before we came on the air, I believe you should do one of these every single day while we are going through all of this here. But let us start there. In your mock draft last month, you had Tua going number 3. Mm-hmm. Now you have going number 5. What changed?
I didn't want to project a trade that's not going to happen. It distorts everything. If that trade occurred, then fine. Okay, then you would have him at 3. And then obviously you would say at 5, who ends up there? The Detroit Lions would, or the Giants would, Greeny. And then at 6, you'd have one of those quarterbacks going. Okay, if you make that move now and I say I stick Tua at 3, then I could very easily and conveniently have at 5 Herbert and at 6 Jordan Love. Well, that can't happen, because if that trade is actually made, one of those quarterbacks, be it Herbert or Love, is going to drop a bit. You can't project them right now to Carolina. They're set with Teddy Bridgewater at least for 2 years. Thought about Jacksonville, but they're committed to Gardner Minshew at a heck of a rookie year, okay? And then you say, okay, where would he go after that? The next team that would make any sense, with Indy now out at 13, San Francisco's in at that spot with that DeForest Buckner trade, it gets down to New England at 23, and that's not even guaranteed because they seem to like Jarrett Stidham. So that becomes never, never land for the quarterback that you don't put in that group. So I could have very easily and made it simple, Greeny, put 3, may say, Dre, I'll put Tua there, I'll put 5 Herbert, and I'll put 6 Love, but that can't really happen. I wanted to keep this thing real.
Okay, so it's real for the moment. Let's talk about the video that he released last night. Mm-hmm. We all understand how evaluators are going to be looking at that, and they're going to have less information on him than they would have liked to because of these circumstances. What do you see from the video there, and what do you think the evaluators will take from it?
Well, you got to like what you see, but the thing is, even if Tua medically gets cleared by the doctors and everything looks good, you still have that durability concern is still there, Greeny. There's three lower extremity injuries. So I think you look at it and you say, okay, redshirting that first year, five of the active winningest signal callers in the NFL, four of those didn't even play as a rookie, okay? We know Patrick Mahomes only played that final game. Lamar Jackson played late after Flacco was banged up. So you think about two last MVPs didn't play much, except late for Jackson and that one game for Mahomes. And I said, four of the top five active didn't play at all. I think you medically redshirt Tua regardless of how he looked, regardless of what your medical people say, let his body heal, get him ready for 2021. I think that's the best course of action if you draft Tua in that top five.
All right, now I'm going to have a lot more with you, Mel, as we go, but I also have Orlovsky and Spears ready to go, the world's greatest sports comedy team. Dan and Swagoo are here. And so, Dan, it's a brief tape, but it is significant. Tell me, Dan Orlovsky, what you are seeing on that tape that Tua dropped last night.
Greeny, I am shocked at how good Tua looks. I did not expect this in March. I mean, we're still in March, and this is a kid that 6 or 7 weeks ago was still on crutches. And I understand it's a 10-second video, but he looks really good in this video. Like, he looks sudden, he's moving well, and he looks like he's, like, in a good place, right? He's in a good place mentally. Greeny, I think this video, all right, so we've got the medical reports. We've had his checkups, right? We've had those, and those have been really good. We've had the MRIs, and those have been really good. And now this video gets released. I think this video is now going to set off a chain of events, like almost like an arms race or maybe like a game of chicken between the Chargers and between the Dolphins and, I don't know, maybe the Raiders of like, okay, all these boxes that we needed to get checked as an organization are now being checked when it comes to Tua Tagovailoa, and there's not going to be any more like excuses or, you know, asterisk that you have to describe or define or whatnot. This is a big time video. I'm shocked how good Tua looks.
The medical piece of this, and Laura's been all over it, she's going to join us live in about an hour. He's also going to have an MRI done that they will send out to everyone. To whatever degree that becomes significant in this as well. And again, we'll have more detail on that in an hour. But Swagoo, what do you see on that tape, and what does it make you think?
I'm continuing to look, G, to see if it's any more than 10 seconds, because based on this, he should go one listening to Dan. Golly, it's a 10-second video. What I will say is, if you get hype about a 10-second video, then yes, you go crazy over Tua. Tua needs this. I need to see the longevity. I need to see the hip be worked out under the circumstances in which you see quarterbacks work. And like Mel said, the durability is the issue from all intents and purposes at the beginning of this. And Laura has been doing great reporting on it, is that Tua would be fine. He would be able to move. These things would transpire. The question about Tua was, the question evolved not from if Tua hip would become healthy. It evolved if Tua is durable enough and can make those decisions in game to not put himself in harm's way like he's done for these three injuries, two high ankle sprains and obviously the hip injury. I agree with Dan. It looks great. We've been starving to see Tua move, and based on where he's come from, he's fought to get to this point. But I can't go all crazy over a 10-second video when I know what he's been through throughout his career.
Marcus, the whole thing with Tua, when we talked about him 6 weeks ago, was not, man, I hope he's going to be able to work out for a long period of time, and I've got to see the hip when it's tired. The whole thing was, is Tua going to be able to show NFL scouts and organizations that he still is the sudden player that he was in Alabama? The Floyd Mayweather-type boxer in the pocket where there's this sudden movement. And for him to look like this on March 23rd is a massive deal, because this is one of the big questions that we all had with Tua. What are you going to look like in March? Because be honest with you. I did not expect to see a video like this in March. Maybe middle to the back end of April as we got into May. But the fact that, again, all the question marks that were tied to him when it comes to the offseason, I don't know what he's going to look like with pressure and live bodies around him and getting hit. But when it comes to the offseason, for him to continue to go, okay, the hip got checked with the medical doctors. They raved about that. The MRI was great. Raved about that. Now a video of him moving. And again, this is not a video that just yesterday was his first moment of movement. Like, he's obviously been ramping this up. For him to look like that in March, it is a big deal. Because if you're these organizations going, we don't know what his health is looking like, we don't know if he's ready to move, for him to be able to do that in March is huge for teams.
Guys, let me get Graziano in on this thing. I saw Dan Graziano there, our NFL insider extraordinaire. And Dan, you heard Mel talking about he doesn't like to project trades, and we get that. But what are you starting to hear as we are about a month away from this about the possibility of teams trading up to make sure they can get Tua Tagovailoa?
Well, you look at two spots, Greeny. You look at the Detroit Lions at number three. I believe they would be very willing to move out of that spot, move down a little bit, accumulate more picks if someone wanted to come up to that number three spot and make sure and secure the quarterback that they want. That's the most likely one. The next one, of course, is the New York Giants at four. And I think theoretically they would be willing to do it too. But historically they haven't. Their GM, Dave Gettleman, never traded down one time in 5 years as Panthers GM or the last 2 years as Giants GM. And his predecessor in New York, Jerry Reese, never traded down in any round in 11 years as GM. So organizationally, they don't tend to like to do that. So I would look at the Lions at number three. Listening to these two guys, as usual, Marcus is making more sense to me than Orlovsky, because when you look at a 10-second video, you're talking about teams making decisions for the long term. Teams are going to have two big questions. They have a lot of questions about Tua, but two big ones. Number one, how does he look now? Number two, how long do we think he can last? And you heard different reports coming from different teams that you talked to after the combine in terms of how certain they were about investing in Tua Tagovailoa long term because of the health questions. So it's going to depend on which team is sold and how many of them are willing to actually move up and make sure that they take him if he's the guy that they think is their future.
I'm going to defend my man Orlovsky. Obviously, no 10-second video can change your mind about how durable Tua is going to be long term. But as far as where he is, if you have those questions and that takes him off your board, then nothing he does between now and then is going to change that. Frankly, that's where I'd be if it were my job riding on all of this. But Marcus, however healthy he is along the way obviously does make a difference. And that tape does look better, I think, than we would have expected. Marcus, 10 seconds.
Gee, I'm not off the boat with what Dan is saying. I just think these teams want to see more than that in order to feel the confidence that they need to have in order to draft Tua that high. I'm not saying that he won't be drafted that high, but I can't go off this video when teams are going to put Tua through vigorous workouts once somebody says he's medically cleared, just to see where this hip is. And not only that, have their scouts and medical personnel look into why Tua has sustained these injuries throughout the course of his career. I think that's the most important thing going forward. Like I said, I've been talking to Laura. You guys have been talking to Laura. We thought that Tua would progress along faster.
All right, we're going to leave this here for the moment because Mel is still standing by. I'll take a quick break because there's a lot more to this mock draft that needs to be dissected, including where he has another one of the quarterbacks going. The Patriots have to think about a long-term replacement for Tom Brady, and Mel suggests they may take one in this draft. I'll tell you why that would be unprecedented. Plus, Deshaun Watson looks to Drake for words to describe his current state of mind. Is it time to get worried in Houston? The answer is yes. The show's called Get Up on ESPN.
Geico gets you access to licensed agents 24/7, which means that Geico is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like your mom, when you fill out really, really important paperwork on the first day of a new job.
Name, check. Birthday, Social Security, is that a thing? Hey, Mom, what is my Social Security number? Mom? Okay, let's guess. 0017. Oh, Gemini. Hashtag done.
Geico, always there for you with savings and 24/7 access to licensed agents.
Foot odor throwing you off your game? Stick to a winning game plan with Odor Eaters, featuring three advanced odor and wetness fighters. The lineup provides long-lasting odor control plus more to keep your feet on their game.
Odor Eaters powder provides outstanding moisture control. Clear drying spray is the MVP in preventing athlete's foot, while insoles work continuously to manage wetness while adding a layer of comfort. Pick up today at Walmart, Target, CVS, Dollar General, or other fine retailers.
Odor Eaters. Destroy foot odor with the best in odor defense.
We are back on Get Up with more from Mel Kiper's just released latest mock draft. And in this mock, Mel has Oregon's quarterback Justin Herbert going number 6 to the Chargers. And then Utah State quarterback Jordan Love going 23 to the Patriots. And this is going to be a huge debate leading up to this draft. The discussion between these two quarterbacks after Burrow and Tua. It's going to be one of the most interesting pieces that we have here. While Herbert had more touchdowns and a better QBR, the pair's passing yards were nearly identical this past season. And Mel, I have you for one more moment here. So tell me why you right now have Herbert over Love, and do you think it's possible that by the time we get to the end here, that flips?
No, I think Herbert is solid. You're talking about Senior Bowl week. Love was there. Who was the MVP? Who was the top quarterback? Was Herbert over Love? Same thing in the game. Combine, Love was impressive after a shaky start. Herbert was outstanding as well. Herbert a great pro day. What has Herbert done wrong? He's done nothing. Think about Love this year. Granted, he lost a lot of starters, pretty, but there were 4 games, including LSU, where he was 51 and change percentage or less. 8 games where his touch interception ratio was equal or below what you want. And 3 of those games weren't just LSU. It was New Mexico, Colorado State, Nevada. New Mexico, Colorado State were combined 6-18. So you can't excuse away the year that Love had, which was obviously less than stellar from what he was the previous season. I will say this too, Granny. Thought about the Raiders. The Raiders are at 12-19. Will Mike Mayock and John Gruden go out and get Jordan Love, let Mariota and Carr figure it out this year, and then have Love to go toe-to-toe with Mahomes in that same division? Thought about that as well at 12-19 for the Raiders, and, of course, New England picking at 23.
So it's going to be very intriguing as we get there. Mel, outstanding again. The Mock Draft 3.0 is up on ESPN.com as we speak. Thank you, Mel, and we will see you,
Thank you, Greeny.
Again soon. Let me bring Orlovsky and Spears back in on this. And, Dan, I know you see it the other way. As of right now, you are higher on Jordan Love than you are on Justin Herbert.
Yeah, Greeny, it's not really even close to me in my mind. You know, being home a bunch, what I've done over the past 10 days is watch a lot of HGTV. And I want to make an analogy for everybody with these two quarterbacks. Okay, Justin Herbert is like this really good-looking house that's built really well. It's got all kinds of really nice upgrades. It's in a good place. But every time you see that house, you walk away going, man, there's something just doesn't seem right about this house. You can't sell it. It's sitting on the market. No one wants to buy that house. And then Jordan Love is this house that, you know, it's in a great location. It's in a good neighborhood. It's a nice piece of property, but it needs some upgrades. It needs some love. It needs some TLC. And you walk away every time you spend some time looking at the house. You walk away going, man, there's some good bones on that house. And with a little bit of an investment and a little bit of effort put into that home, you could walk away from a dream house. And that's the analogy that I see with these guys. You look at Justin Herbert and you go, man, like, you should be what I want at the quarterback position, but I just don't. For some reason. And then I watch Jordan Love and I go, man, there's some special stuff in that game that coached better footwork, a greater understanding of that position. And there's this potential to have the top blow off and be a really special player.
So I do break the tie.
I'm going Justin Herbert, and you know, normally I base it off competition. So I'm play well at the end of the year against Arizona State, saw him play against Auburn, and plus he was in Mario Cristobal's offense, who really is a runny-centric offense. He likes to play downhill, big physical line of scrimmage. Justin Herbert, to me, could be a project, too. Like, we're at a point now with quarterbacks where you do have time. We just heard Mel saying Tua should take a redshirt year. How do we know Justin Herbert got the right type of coaching? He went through a few coaches while at Auburn. And also, when you look at it, like, I don't get enamored too much about the stature of quarterbacks anymore. Kyler Murray proved me wrong in that regard. Tua, obviously, what he was able to do in college. But I look at these guys, and it's just like we're talking about Jameis Winston now. Like, where is that fit? Where is that situation where a guy can become peak? And I think Herbert's peak is higher than Justin Love's peak.
And we'll wait and see how it plays out. And I will mention, Mel is projecting Love to the Patriots. Bill Belichick has never drafted a quarterback in the first round. He's only drafted one in the second round, a fellow by the name of Jimmy Garoppolo. Meanwhile, right now, the Patriots have three quarterbacks on their roster, and Jarrett Stidham, as we speak, is at the top of the depth chart. Now, he barely played last year, but one of the team captains, Devin McCourty, has expressed a lot of confidence in his ability, Stidham's ability, to get the job done. Listen.
To me, the best thing for Stiddy was he had to go against our defense every week. I love his poise. I think Stiddy out there, like, I would be faking a blitz sometimes, and we make eye contact, and he'd just start smiling and laughing. And then, to me, there was weeks where, like, he was just on point. And those were some of our best weeks as a defense. I've gotten to know him off the field as well. He's a really good guy. Young guy, but very mature. He's married, does all the good things. So, you know, I think the Stidhams are going to be in New England for a long time.
Well, the rest of the sports world may be getting much more familiar with Jarrett Stidham soon after a rookie season in which he just threw four passes. He was drafted in the fourth round, spent a combined 3 years at Auburn and Baylor throwing nearly 50 touchdowns. And Marcus has seen a lot of him. So we'll get to you in a second, Swagoo. But Dan, I know you have some tape. Show us a little bit of Jarrett Stidham.
Well, Greeny, it seems like the Patriots have a lot of belief in Jarrett Stidham, and they're going to give him the opportunity to be their guy moving forward. So you got to go back to the last preseason and just kind of watch his tape and see where he stands, and really the third preseason game, because that's when he took over as the backup quarterback. And it's against the Panthers. Brady starts the game, and then Jarrett Stidham's the next guy in, and you're trying to find these traits. These clips are going to show you three traits. First of all, pocket movement. Second of all, attacking between the hashes. And third, a really good understanding of the game. First clip, trying to hit this crossing route. And you're going to see him up from the top of him. And you got to climb the pocket as a quarterback. Don't sit back there. Have a great pocket feel. Move up in the pocket and deliver that strike. That's really well done. The second one, you know, understanding how A plus B equals C. This safety blitzing is going to leave this linebacker there to roam. Jarrett Stidham is going to move it with his eyes to create space or create a window to rip this crossing route behind him. Really good feel for that. So you see these traits on tape of Jarrett Stidham where he's got a great feel for the pocket. That's difficult to coach. He's got a really good understanding of how to attack in between the hashes, which is something New England loves to do. And then the fact that A plus B in football often equals C. That safety blitzing, that linebacker hanging out, let me move him with my eyes to create that window. And so there's a lot on tape that you can understand why the Patriots see Jarrett Stidham as a guy with potential to be their guy.
I'm going to leave it there for a second. Swagoo, I will come back to you on this a little bit later in the show because you saw a lot of him in college. But I have to take a quick break here and come back. We'll talk about Baker Mayfield, among other people. He will be the best quarterback in his division this coming year. Those are not my words, but one of my friends here believes it and will tell you why coming up next. But first, a little moment for Sneaky Hembo. And here's the question for today. Which quarterback-receiver tandem has connected for the most touchdowns over the last three seasons? That's the question. The answer's next. Get Up on ESPN.
Though we're apart these days, we're sharing more. So at GEICO, we'd like to say thanks. Thanks for sharing your savage dance moves. Thanks for sharing your DIY haircut fails. Thanks for sharing your inner lip sync star. Now it's our turn to share with the GEICO Give Back. A 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers. Because we're committed for the long haul, the 15% credit lasts your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for more info and eligibility.
We are back on Get Up with Sneaky Hembo time, and he has called out Graziano this morning. Is Dan Graziano ready? Here's the question for you, Dan. Which quarterback receiver tandem has connected for the most touchdowns over the last three seasons?
I got to go with Deshaun Watson and DeAndre Hopkins because it's topical.
Somewhere, Hembo is devastated because that is correct. That is the right answer.
Oh.
Graziano gets it right. Those two are slightly ahead of Ben Roethlisberger and Antonio Brown, which is remarkable considering they didn't play together at all last year, and Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams. So, yes, that is the most productive touchdown duo, and we will get to Deshaun Watson in a moment. But first, Graziano, let's run the hurry up. What's the timeline on Cam Newton finding a new team?
Still waiting to see what happens with Carolina and when they decide it's probably going to be time to release him. It's going to be very difficult for them to trade him, as we've discussed several times. It likely gets to the point where he gets cut. And then the issue becomes, will a team take him on without getting a really close look at that foot and seeing how that's holding up and how it projects going forward? Going to be tough for Cam to find a job anytime soon.
So that's one quarterback situation. Here's another. What's up with Jameis Winston?
Jameis Winston, we discussed this yesterday. He's in the process of kind of resetting expectations, not likely to find an obvious starting job right now, may need to go to a team where he has to fight for a starting job or spend some time as a backup. We should know, I would think, in the next couple of weeks what kind of market he has.
And then finally, a different kind of quarterback situation. What details should we know about Marcus Mariota's contract with the Raiders?
Marcus Mariota's contract with the Raiders looks a lot like the one that Saints gave Teddy Bridgewater last year. They gave Bridgewater $7.25 million plus incentives if he played. Mariota's getting $7.5 million and can get up to about $12 or $13 million this year if he plays enough and if they win enough games. But it's a high-end backup quarterback contract that really recognizes how many games Mariota started in the league.
I can tell you this. John Gruden, when Mariota was coming out in the draft, absolutely loved him. And all that brings us back to the aforementioned DeAndre Hopkins, who was traded last week for what most in the industry perceive to be less than market value. His now former teammate and quarterback, Deshaun Watson, was on Twitter yesterday tweeting lyrics from a song by Drake called Emotionless. And here's the tweet. I don't know how I'm going to make it out of here clean. Can't even keep track of who plays for the other team. Iconic duos rip and split at the seams. So, Dan Graziano, what can you tell us first and foremost? Because everyone will look at this and say, oh, Deshaun Watson's disgusted. He's going to get out of there. What are the chances he gets out of there?
Well, I think they're slim if you look at it from a financial and football standpoint for the Houston Texans. They have him this year for a little more than $2 million, and then they have a fifth-year option on him for 2021, probably coming around $25 million. So add that together, you have one of the best players in the league for the next 2 years for about, you know, $12.5, $13 million a year. Why would they move on from that? But then you think to yourself, why would they trade DeAndre Hopkins? And is Deshaun Watson going to be upset that they traded DeAndre Hopkins? And did DeAndre Hopkins give Deshaun Watson some sort of blueprint for how to get out of Houston if you're upset? I believe that the Hopkins trade has opened the door for that kind of speculation. And unless Houston signs Deshaun Watson to a contract extension this offseason, I think that speculation will continue into the 2020 season whenever it does start.
Yes, we will continue to speculate about it here for certain. Graziano, thank you. Swagoo and Orlovsky are back. Swagoo, I thought that I did an outstanding job with those lyrics. So I'll give them to you again. I don't know how I'm going to make it out of here clean. Can't even keep track of who plays for the other team. Iconic duos rip and split at the seams. What should we take from those lyrics?
Gee, in my head, I had a beat going while you were saying that.
Me too.
So it felt good
Bars.
Hearing you say that with some fluidity. Yeah, yeah. No doubt. Gee, I read into the first line of that, and to me, it's a subliminal, and I'm always one to be like, man, we don't need to read into it that much. Deshaun Watson doesn't think this is going to end well based on what he just watched for him in Houston. He's thinking about that. That's in his head, seeing D-Hop be traded, and that's one of the realities of this business, that certain things happen in certain teams and certain situations that makes you realize, dang, we are expendable. One of the best at his position in his prime just was traded away because of something, I guess, personal between D-Hop and Bill O'Brien. Bill O'Brien knows Deshaun Watson is paying close attention to this. He knows that this has affected Deshaun Watson. And based on a lot of guys that I've had the opportunity to speak with the Texans, D-Hop was one of the most well-loved guys in that locker room. So it goes beyond affecting Deshaun Watson, But when it comes to the field to play and you take away a quarterback that's trying to ascend and become one of the best in the game, best weapon, it creates this type of energy. And this type of energy is not good when Deshaun Watson is up for a contract with Houston. He may want to get out of there.
Now, Dan, it almost feels like such an obvious question, but I'd like to hear it from a quarterback. If you're a quarterback and they trade away this great receiver with whom you have this extraordinary chemistry, we just showed you the stat. They've connected for more touchdowns than anyone in the league the last 3 years. I mean, where does that leave Deshaun Watson?
Yeah, alone, Greeny. And I think that's the message here. Deshaun Watson is saying, I'm alone. I need to get everyone to understand this is the 21st century. And if we think that athletes don't use social media to tell us exactly how they feel, we're kidding ourselves. This is a guy that for the last 10 years of his life has had everybody tell him, listen, make sure that you are aware of what you're saying, because everyone is going to hang on every single word that you say, whether publicly and or via social media. This is not a mistake by Deshaun Watson. He's telling us, I'm alone. I feel alone out here right now. And listen, we need to be a little sensitive and aware of the realities of the organization. They've been dealt with some difficult times, the Houston Texans. The passing of their owner, Bob McNair, and then their general manager at the time, Rick Smith's wife, becoming fatally ill, have kind of left a void of leadership in this organization. And so that is a very difficult situation. But they're looking for leadership right now. This organization lacks leadership, and that falls on Bill O'Brien right now. And to Marcus's point, if I'm a quarterback and I'm going, wait, you just traded away our best player because you didn't like him? Because you couldn't get along with him? I'm going, I have to look at my future. I have to look at my future if I'm Deshaun Watson and going, what would make me want to stay here? Take the fans away from it, because that's emotion. I get all that. And he loves the city, I'm sure. But what would make me think that I'm going to be supported the right way here? Because you just traded away my best player. Not because he can't play, but because you don't like him. And I promise you, Deshaun Watson has sat there when he's sending out that tweet going, I don't think I could be here. And his agent, David Mulgeta, is one of the best and most powerful in the game. And if I'm Deshaun Watson, there's no chance I'm signing an extension at any point in Houston right now.
All right, I'm going to leave it there on that for a moment, but we will do more on this in our next hour, including what we think may be the next step in Houston. But now, I want to get back to plausible deniability. This is something that we created yesterday on the show, and it is a place where, and I started it yesterday, and I'm going to let Orlovsky take today's plausibly deniable hot take. You make a statement that you know people are going to disagree with, but you somewhere in your heart actually believe to be true, but we're going to give you plausible deniability. So I will not hold you to this if it proves to be untrue. Those are the rules of the game. It's our show. We can make them up. Here we go. Orlovsky, what do you think? What's your plausibly deniable hot take for today?
Greeny, Baker Mayfield will have the best season in 2020 of any of the AFC North quarterbacks. And let me tell you why. Number one, they have their new head coach. Number two, they addressed their biggest need at offensive line with the signing of Jack Conklin and the addition of Austin Hooper at tight end. And number three, the scheme. I want to take everybody to the five quarterbacks last year that majored in this Kyle Shanahan, Mike Shanahan scheme that Kevin Stefanski is going to run. The five quarterbacks are Jared Goff, Jimmy Garoppolo, Aaron Rodgers, Ryan Tannehill, and Kirk Cousins. Those five guys last year went 2-21 as starting quarterbacks. They completed 66% of their passes for a quarterback rating of 100% average. They threw for 128 touchdowns and 45 interceptions. Greeny, quarterbacks in this offense always play well. Baker Mayfield, and I've told everybody this, is a play-action passing quarterback. Last year, in play-action, Baker was 106 as a passer rating. In drop-back, he was 68. We know exactly who he is as a player. Now he's in an offense that will major in what he does well. They made the additions that they needed. He is going to be the best quarterback in that division.
So I agree, you look skeptical.
Because I am, G. What do you mean I look it? You damn right I'm skeptical. Lamar Jackson is in that conference. And also Ben Roethlisberger is coming back to play for the Pittsburgh Steelers as well, for what we know as a healthy quarterback. And Baker Mayfield going to be the best one in the division? I get it. I get the whole plausible deniability. I understand the sale and all of that. But it ain't no way in hell you going to get me to believe that.
I love it because it is exactly what the setup is supposed to be. This is something that is a little bit outrageous that you kind of believe, and we'll see if it winds up being true. And Dan, you have my promise that when it winds up being as far from true as anything could possibly be, I, for one, will not hold it against you. We continue here on Get Up as the morning continues. A different quarterback. Dak Prescott did not get what he wanted so far in a long-term contract. The news he got last night might have been worse. We'll tell you why next. Get Up on ESPN.
Come on, get up.
Though we're apart these days, we're sharing more. So at Geico, we'd like to say thanks. Thanks for sharing your savage dance moves. Thanks for sharing your DIY haircut fails. Thanks for sharing your inner lip sync star. Now it's our turn to share with the Geico Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers. Because we're committed for the long haul, the 15% credit lasts your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for more info and eligibility.
We're back on Get Up, and we have breaking news. This coming into our newsroom in just the last few minutes. The 2020 Olympic Games, scheduled for this summer in Tokyo, will be postponed for a year, according to the New York Times. The Prime Minister of Japan, Shinzo Abe, asked the International Olympic Committee to delay the Games, and the IOC, quote, 100% agreed. Our Jeremy Schapp, who knows as much about all of this as anyone, will join us at the top of the hour, so that's 14 minutes from now. He'll tell us why this seemed inevitable and, more importantly, what will come next. Again, according to the New York Times, the 2020 Olympic Games have been postponed for 1 year, and we will have much more on that as we continue. Now, I do have a moment here with the commissioner of Major League Soccer. The MLS commissioner, Don Garber, is with us. And Don, I had a chance to just make sure that you could hear me a moment ago. And so we discussed this. I'd love to get briefly your reaction to the Olympics this summer being postponed till next year.
You know, not surprising at all, Mike. You know, the U.S. men's men are qualifying. They were qualifying down in Costa Rica. Those players from our clubs are back home. The women have already qualified for the Olympics. Not surprising at all. Many of the NGBs, national governing bodies, have been putting pressure on the IOC to postpone the games in Japan. So not surprised in the slightest.
Okay, so I so appreciate you taking this moment here. And we've tried to get the leaders of various different sports on the program to just sort of give the fans an idea of where your head is, what sorts of things you're taking into account right now, what you're hearing from the people whose opinions you value and trust, and then ultimately, most importantly, when we might get a chance to see your sport come back. So what sorts of conversations are you having with people right now, and what data are you looking at as you sort of go through navigating this unprecedented circumstance?
Well, you know, it starts, Mike, that we have a task force of key leaders in the league office. We've got owners that have joined that group. We've got our own medical staff and consultants that we're using. And very importantly, you could imagine that we have owners that are involved in the healthcare system, and they're involved in biotech, and many of them are on the boards of hospitals. So we have an enormous amount of information. Every day, our task force is meeting. We're communicating regularly with our owners, regularly with our team executives, both at the business level and the technical level. And ultimately, what this means for all of us is really the important statement that there are two very important things at play here. One is, you know, there is a real sense of loss of many of sports fans overall, and clearly in the soccer world. You know, our fans are so deeply connected with their clubs. There's a community and a passionate army of people that love their teams and love their players. And there's a real sense of loss when they don't have the opportunity to go to games. But it also is an important statement of the power of sport, and whether that's soccer or any other sport, all coming together to have a very, very strong and powerful voice to ensure that people are staying home, that they're staying safe, that they're staying clean, and that they're prioritizing the things that really matter, which is social distancing and also connecting to their families and connecting to their loved ones.
And then as you sort of look forward to whenever it is we begin to come out on the other side of this, and none of us pretends that we know at this time, what sorts of things will you need to hear and see in order to make a decision that it is safe and reasonable to come back and start playing again?
You know, it starts, Mike, with that we're following the CDC guidelines, and also this is unique. That's not just federal instructions and guidance. It's also local at the state level and at the county level. And when the CDC had restrictions of crowds over 50 by May 9th, we suspended or postponed our season until May 10th. And remember, we've only gone through 2 weeks of our season. So our plan is to play as many games as we possibly can. We have a 34-week season. We've only played two. And we're in consultation with our teams and with all others to try to figure out what do we need to do to get back as quickly as we can, ensuring that we're prioritizing the safety of our fans and our staffs and obviously our players. Looking at, can we play behind closed doors? Are there unique and creative concepts that we could have? Could we have regional play? Could we play something that might be fun and exciting during this offseason, during this postponement period, that might be very, very different? And whether it's unique and fun ideas or they're more competitive concepts, we're working hard to put those ideas in place. Once we are comfortable that we can get our players with 3 to 4 weeks of training and that we have the guidance that we can get crowds back into our stadiums, then we will begin the relaunch of our season. Again, our intent is to play as many games as we possibly can. That means moving our regular season later into November. It means moving the MLS Cup back to mid-December, and we've had that for many, many years. We're very confident that we can go back to that format. Our plan is to still have single elimination format that did so well on ESPN last season, and to have the MLS Cup hosted in the team market that earns it.
Don Garber, the commissioner of the MLS, we thank you very much for the time here. Stay safe, and we will check in again as we sort of work through this thing. Thank you, Don.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you. Stay safe as well.
All right, so that's one form of football. Now to sneaky big news from another form of football, and it comes from Dallas. 29-year-old Pro Bowl center Travis Frederick announced his retirement on Twitter yesterday after just 6 NFL seasons. He references his health battles with Guillain-Barré syndrome, which caused him to miss an entire NFL season as a factor in that. It's a rare disorder in which your body's immune system attacks your nerves. And when he then went down in 2018, the Cowboys offense really suffered. The impact he made in his return was clear. This past year, Dallas was number one in the league in yards per play. They went from second to last in sacks allowed all the way up to second overall. And Dan Orlovsky, you were saying to me before, this is a very big deal for the Cowboys. Why?
Green, this is a massive loss because this is the center of their offense. I mean, this is the focal point of the offense. And don't get it twisted. Like, Dak Prescott's worst year as a professional in 2018 is the year that he did not have Travis Frederick. A center for their quarterback is like when you get on a roller coaster ride and it's the lap bar that comes down. It just gives you security. You're locked in. I know that I can trust that no matter what. Now that he's moved on, there's a little bit of uneasiness there, I promise, for Dak Prescott. Again, Travis Frederick gave up one sack last year. Dak Prescott knew the center of my offensive line was going to give me time to throw the football. Now that he's moved on, Greeny, I'd rather lose my right tackle than lose my center as a quarterback. This is a massive loss for Dallas.
What does it mean for Dak there, Marcus Spears?
You just changed the communication element. I know from a D-line perspective, when you have a really good center that keeps everybody on the same page, it's very tough to catch offenses in bad ways, to bring blitzes. He was the ultimate communicator. And now we're starting to see, like, Tyron Smith is not the healthiest. And obviously they dealt with Zach Martin being injured a little bit last year. And now Travis Frederick being gone. I remember when Dallas was making these moves and drafting these offensive linemen in the first round, and fans here weren't too receptive to it. Travis Frederick came in, went to Pro Bowls, was an all-pro selection. Then Zach Martin, and obviously Tyron Smith when I was there. This is a big piece, a big hole that they're going to have to fill. And I expect them to either address it right now in this draft or address it in free agency. This is a massive loss to Dan's point because of the synergy that he has with Dak. But not only that, the communication he has with this offensive line.
And yet another high-profile and really, really good NFL player retiring before the age of 30. We will take a short break. We have much more to do as we get up with you this morning. Again, big news out of the Olympics. And then there was video of Tua working out yesterday. He looked awfully good. Was it good enough to move all the way to number one? We'll answer that question and more as we continue. Get up on ESPN.